Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that the Lord Jesus Christ has come to be our Savior and our Lord. Humbly we accept from Him His grace and mercy as He bears our sins in Himself and forgives us by His grace and kindness. But our Father, we want to yield ourselves to Him that He might have His way in us as our Lord. Help us to understand His will, to understand His ways, that we might be found as willing and obedient unto Him. For His name's sake we ask it. Amen. As we continue now in our study in the Gospel of Matthew, we're in chapter 21, and we begin at the 12th verse. And from the 12th to the 16th verse, we have a continuation of what happened on that day when He came into Jerusalem riding upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And here we see that when He came into the city, there was a certain first thing that He did that is in before us now. We find this in verses 12 to 16 of chapter 21. And since you may not have your Bible there with you, I want to read these few verses because in themselves they contain the story that we want to examine. Reading in chapter 21 of the Gospel of Matthew, verse 12. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to Him in the temple, and He healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that He did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. And they said unto Him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus said unto them, Yea, have you never read, Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou perfected praise? In this passage, you will see the first action of Christ Jesus as King. When He came into the city and was acclaimed as King, the people crying out and singing His praises, He went straight to the temple. Now the temple, you see, is the place of the worship of God. And this is very significant because it means that the first thing the Lord Jesus is interested in when He is coming to rule is to cleanse, to straighten out the worship of God. Actually, in human experience, this is where the trouble comes in ordinary lives. So far as our lives are concerned, we pretty much do what we do because of what we want, the thing that we think is most important. And if we want the wrong things, we'll do the wrong way. The Lord Jesus deals with us by straightening out our desires, our inner wants and intentions. With reference to mankind serving God, one of the biggest problems about men serving God has always been that men want to do their own way, that men want their own advantage. And when a man comes to worship God, his heart should be open to seek God's way and to do God's will. So that actually human beings going about to establish their own righteousness and seeking their own desires and doing what they want to do are actually led into sin of all kinds. And before such people could ever be cured, the first thing that needs to be done is their attitude toward God. And so here is the Lord Jesus Christ coming to the city of Jerusalem, supposed to be the people of God, coming to His own people, and the first place He goes to is the temple, their worship of God. And there He finds that the temple is cluttered up with money changers and people who are selling the animals and the birds that are going to be used for sacrifice. You know, you ought to keep in mind that this does not mean that the temple was being turned into an ordinary market. This doesn't mean that people were buying and selling in the ordinary sense of the word. This is even closer than that. It means that when people came to worship God and the man would come from a long distance and he wouldn't have a lamb with him, he wouldn't have an ox with him to offer as a sacrifice, but he would want to worship God in the temple in Jerusalem. And when he came there, he could buy a lamb or a goat or an ox or some doves and bring them to offer in the service, in the religious service of the temple. That would mean somebody has to sell those. And immediately people found that the people who had these creatures for sale, the closest to the temple, were the ones that had the most likely chance for making a sale. Now, as far as the money changers are concerned, this doesn't mean ordinary banking was going on there. This means that when these travelers from far countries of different currency would come to this place, when they had money of their own that wasn't the same money that was used in Jerusalem, and they would come from this distant country and they want to make a purchase, they'd have to exchange their money. And so there would be people there who would exchange their money for a discount, of course, and make money out of it. So actually, these booths, as they probably were, these counters and booths that had been set up where you could get your money changed as you would if you were going into a foreign country and you get your American money or your British money changed and Canadian money, get it changed as you go into this foreign country. Well, now, so it would be here. People came to Jerusalem and they brought their own money with them and they would get it changed so that they could buy a lamb or a sheep or a goat or an ox or a turtle dove that they could buy, that they wanted to offer as a sacrifice. And as I say, these booths had been set up for this kind of thing. But although it was in connection with worship, actually, the truth of the matter was that those people were selling sheep to make money. That these people who had their booths there, their concessions, and were making their sales, they actually were doing it for money. And when the Lord Jesus Christ came to the temple and found these money-making devices there, he did what the record says. He threw them out and cast them out, saying, "You have made my Father's house a den of thieves. It is called a house of prayer, and you've made it a den of thieves." Now, when we look into this, as we are, and examine it here, you will see that the Lord Jesus, in his attitude, has one of demanding that the heart in worshiping God shall be clear. There shall be nothing in there of any sort of personal advantage when you come to worship God. And the place of the temple is to be entirely to the honor of God. And so he cast these out. I know that there are people will talk about this as though the Lord Jesus got angry and did so with anger, because in other Gospels, when we read about this, we will read about him knotting together ropes to make a whip out of it and to lash them out and so on, things like that, would make you feel that it was an act of violence. I'm not so sure that there was physical violence on the people involved here, and I'm not so very sure how much physical violence there was altogether, although in one of the other Gospels it does tell about him overturning the tables and driving out the cattle. That they certainly did this thing in a zealous way, and they let him do it. He evidently had such a strong feeling about it, they let him do it. But afterwards, they were very much displeased because he had done it in this way. But I may say also, when you read that he had cleansed the temple, you noticed also the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. It's an interesting contrast. He could be so stern and so sharp and so strong to cast out those elements that were of personal advantage, and so quick and ready to heal the unfortunate who came to him. And then we noticed in verses 15 and 16 the displeasure of the chief priests and scribes because of the children who were crying Hosanna to the Son of David. They were also displeased because of the wonderful things that he did, the miracles in which he was doing this healing, and the singing of the children just creating a disturbance. And isn't it a strange thing? They didn't have any objection to the cattle and the sheep and the selling and the money changing, but they did have objection to these works of power, the miracles, and they had objection to the response of the children and of the people. But that is no more than you will find with the human heart. The human heart is inclined to be that way. We approve the things we're interested in, we disapprove the things that we're against. And that's how it was here. And the Lord Jesus answered and told them, "Have you not read that out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hath he perfected praise?" Bringing out again that except you be as little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. The little children could sing praise to him which he would accept. But for ourselves, as we leave this portion of Scripture, let us pause again very soberly and ask ourselves, in our own worship of God, are we humble? Or are we by any chance approaching God with an idea of trying to get something out of it for ourselves? Let us make it a point to cleanse our attitude toward God and have the thought in mind that He should be praised, that His name should be lifted up, that He should be glorified. Let's keep that in mind all the time and be willing to let Him rule in casting out those things that are displeasing in His sight. Our God and Heavenly Father, add Thy blessing to our hearts, and may Thy Holy Spirit work in us to take out of our own hearts anything at all that is of a personal, selfish nature when we come before God to worship God. Help us humbly and simply to give honor and praise and glory to Almighty God and to our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ, that we might in these things be acceptable in Thy sight. We will give Thee the praise and the glory forever and ever. Amen.